Good evening, everyone. This is Frank Allen. You're listening to Tractor Fiction here on WHRW Binghamton. Welcome. We've got an amazing little tract here tonight. It's called In the Beginning. My understanding is... Now, I'm not exactly an expert in these things, but my understanding is it's part of a series. It's the first episode of a series of tracts dealing with directly with scripture of the supposed Bible. All right. So it's called, as I said, In the Beginning. And we're going to just, like, you know, as always, we're going to just get right to it. Here we go with In the Beginning.
One day, Bob, a humble computer worker, was working on a spreadsheet on his office computer when Jason, his zany coworker, bopped into the room carrying a plastic figure of an Apatosaurus.
G'day, computer man! Check out me dinosaur! This critter lived 145 million years ago!
That's a joke.
Hey, me teacher told me that!
Your teacher's been brainwashed. Evolution is the religion of scientists who laugh. God. 145 million years? Those guys are only guessing.
Okay, smart guy. I suppose you know when the dinosaurs were here.
Yes, I do. And I can tell you the exact day. Jason, listen to me. Since so many scientists contradict each other, I found this to be the only source I can trust. The Bible.
Dun, dun, dun!
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look what took place in 6 days. The earth was without form and void, empty. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said,
Let there be light!
On day one, God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. There was no big bang, so let's see what really happened. Day two, God separated the waters by putting a space of air between them, creating a great canopy of water vapor around the earth. Day three, the seas were divided, and dry land appeared with grass and trees and fruit.
With no sun? How do they grow then, Bruce? Ha ha, I got you now!
Day four, the very next day, God made the sun, moon, and stars. See? They had to be real days, or the plants and trees would have died. Day five, the waters brought forth fish in abundance and every winged fowl ever after its kind. Now, are you ready for the Apatosaurus and Tyrannosaurus Rex? It happened on the sixth day. God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so.
That blows me away, Bruce! Me brain is reeling!
That's what the Word of God says. But something even more important happened on the same day, Jason.
Bruce?
And God said, Let us make man in our image. And the Lord God formed man of the dust in the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
You mean a prehistoric man like the Aborigines?
No, Jason. There was nothing prehistoric.
Oi!
That word was created to brainwash us.
What, oi? Bob, are you telling me that dinosaurs and man were both created on the same day? Oi!
That's what God's word tells us.
Man, that's too hard to swallow. Like a dingo eating me baby.
Jason, there are photos of a dingo eating your baby, and of men's footprints walking next to dinosaur footprints. Did you know that? They were found in Glen Rose, Texas.
Texas?
God doesn't lie.
Can you trace back in time when Adam lived there, Bruce?
Roughly 6,000 years ago.
Ye gods! That's what they've been taught in school. Films and magazines is all phony, like beer being warm.
There were no prehistoric men, Jason. Before day one, there was no world. Adam was our first relative, and you're going to hate what he did to you.
Oi?
The instant Adam was created, he could speak, and God put him in the Garden of Eden. After creation, God rested on the seventh day. He saw everything was good. God told Adam,
of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
Then God gave Adam this warning.
But of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Adam got the message. He was busy naming all the animals, and God saw that he was lonely. So, aww, God created Eve to help him. And now the drama begins. Da-da-da. Eve was beautiful and was to help Adam. Both of their hearts were innocent. But unknown to them, a very dangerous creature was planning their destruction and ours. Satan entered a serpent who was both clever and dangerous, and it talked to Eve.
Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden.
Eve spoke of God's warning that they would die. Die! If they ate of the forbidden tree.
Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Eve had been deceived. More than anything, Eve wanted to be a god. She took Adam to the tree. Although Adam knew it was wrong, they deliberately violated God's direct command.
Oi!
Mm-hmm.
Even if it meant their deaths, they ate of the fruit anyway. They lost their innocence. The time came to face God and account for the crime. God knew what they had done and the horrifying effects of their sins. They blamed each other, and the Lord cursed the serpent and the ground.
Bother!
And Adam and Eve's lives would now be filled with sorrow. Our parents were driven out of the garden, followed by a new creature called death.
Death.
The firstborn on this planet was named Cain. He murdered his kid brother out of jealousy. Adam's sin passed into his children and all the following generations.
Oi, are you saying that I'm a sinner because of what Adam did?
Jason, you're no better than Adam.
Oh.
None of us are innocent. We've all sinned. Mankind became worse and worse. Here we are 6,000 years later, and our hearts haven't changed. At death, our bodies go back to dust, just like Adam. But where do our souls go?
I don't know, Bruce. How would I know?
There are only two places, and one is hell.
It's warm in here.
Oh, so sort of like Melbourne, then. What do I have to do, Bruce, to go to hell?
Absolutely nothing, Jason. Or... because you're going to die in your sins, unless...
Oh, man! Oi! I'm in real trouble! So much trouble that I'm going to lose my accent pretty soon!
Thank you, Adam. Bob, if I was born this way, I'm in a no-win situation. Because I sin all the time. And I fake my Australian heritage. You see, it seems if God really cared about us, he'd have put me in Australia, and he'd have done something to save all of us.
Great point, Jason. Well, the whole sins thing, not so much the Australian thing. That actually has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Mm. I'll tell you what he did for you, and it cost him everything.
I'm so poor.
God Almighty left heaven to be born as the savior of the world.
Dun, dun, dun!
His name was Jesus Christ.
Hi.
For 33 years, he lived a sinless life.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Then, as a perfect sacrifice, he shed his precious blood to pay for the penalty of your sins.
Ow!
Jesus was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Because of his sacrifice, anyone can now receive the gift of eternal life.
Yay!
Adam brought us death, but Jesus dies to give us eternal life. Jason, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, then make him your personal savior. You will be saved.
Lord Jesus, I've duped so many people. I used an Australian accent to fake a heritage to get into college and get discounts on my financial aid. Forgive me for such sins, and all of my sins, including throwing Fosters at little children and telling them to drink it. Save me from going to hell. Save my baby from the dingo's mouth. Please come into my heart. I trust you and Paul Hogan as my saviors right now.
Okay.
The end. That's an amazing, heartwarming moment. I'm sure we all can agree. Oh, what's that laughter?
apparently our feather collection got spilled, and well, she gets a little silly, you know.
Tickle fist.
It hurts.
Don't be hurt. Don't be hurt by these things. They're only true if you believe them.